The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We trust you, we trust your word. Thank you for the numerous mercies and kindness you've shown us through the month of October. Thank you for being God. Thank you for gradually, you are not letting this year end without blessing us. Thank you for your mercies and your kindness. Thank you for keeping to your word. Thank you for being true to your promises. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for everything. And this evening, once again, we are open and ready to be blessed by you and to be blessed by your word. Change us. Let every word come forth with power. Power that will accompany these words and will accompany us to do the same things that we are hearing this evening. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So let's be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so today is part four of superior system, right? Hallelujah. This is supposed to be, first of all, a message that would inform you or will steer your heart towards who you are in Christ and where you stand in Him. But then secondly, it's also supposed to strengthen you and empower you to live as you must. Hallelujah. To strengthen you and empower you to live as you must. You know, last week we talked about the fact that since we are from a superior system, we are not expected to bow to the system of the world. Hallelujah. There is a system in the world, there is a system found in God. And we as believers are not expected to submit ourselves to that system of the world, to live like them, to begin to act like them, you know, to even envy their lifestyle and try to be like them. Hallelujah. And this word list, you find out in different platforms, in different places you get to, you find this system. That the system has a thought pattern. I was explaining that the first day. It has a thought pattern. The system has its own God. It has its own way of doing things. And you get to many places today. It is the system of the world in operation. Now, that's not because God has handed over the world to Satan. No. That is because it is actually men that are in these places. And most of these men have darkness in their hearts. And so they cast that spell of darkness over different systems. So you come to some places, you find what is prevalent is maybe bribery. Bribes. You find come to other places, you find prostitution prevalent. You come to other places, these are systems of the world, and then the darkness in the hearts of men will cast that influence over those environments. And I was talking about last week that our jobs as believers is not just to brag about having a system or a kingdom that is superior, it is to impose that system on every platform we find ourselves. Remember that it is to impose that system. And I began to show you how we can do that. The Bible will tell us that light shines in darkness and darkness can never overcome light. Remember that. So a believer is supposed to come with the light of God in him, come with the system of God, the superior system that he has, and impose it. The same way people, an unbeliever, if he gets into a place, begins to perpetrate wickedness and what have you, and before you know it becomes a norm. A believer is meant to get into a system, come into his room, come into his school, maybe in a classroom setting or in an office setting, and impose the kingdom of God and the system of God on that place. Are you following me? Are you following me? So we are not expected to run from the world. I said that last week in John 17 verse 16. Jesus prayed and said that he doesn't even want us to leave this earth yet. So the reason why we say we have a superior system, John 17 verse 16, is not so that we can now isolate ourselves and say, we are bigger than you guys, or we are not mates, or we are not the same thing. No. He said, they are not of the world. He said, even as I am not of the world. Next verse 17. He said, sanctify them through that word. Verse 18. As thou hast sent people, I send them into the world. Verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify them and all that. But if you get to verse go to verse 14. There's a verse where he said that he's not praying that God should remove us from the world. Verse 15. Yeah, verse 15. He said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but I should keep them. So God is never expecting us to leave this world. He wants us to be here. So why does he, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to influence this world with the system of God, with the kingdom of God that will carry. Influence this world. And not to subject ourselves to its rule. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12 verse 21 that we should overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. So when we come into a place where there is this system in operation, we overcome evil with good. We superimpose our system and our thought pattern and our way of doing things and our God on them or any fallen system. And I began to show how we can do that from last week. We began to look at the fact that first of all is by prayers. Remember I said that when you pray, you are influencing the hearts of men. So when you pray, you exert influence. If you come into a place and you want the mountain of the Lord's house to be exalted above every other mountain, you want to see things done God's way, in God's standard, you want to see, you better begin to pray for that place. You begin to pray for the hearts of men. The Bible tells us that the heart of a king is in God's hand. So you can begin to pray for them. Paul says we should pray for kings. So when you begin to pray for men, what you find out is you begin to influence their choices and their way of doing things in the place of prayer. Are you getting me? Talking about this, maybe you are in a school or you are in an office where it is normal. Things are just very wild. Or you are in a village or a community where, I was giving an example last week, everybody, there is a lot of cultism happening around them. And you that's not God's plan. What God wants is to bring his kingdom there or to bring his order in that place. So you begin to handle things first in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, you are dealing with spirits and dealing with the hearts of men. Hallelujah. You are dealing with, because you say, why did I say dealing with spirits? Because sometimes when you come to these places, there are satanic influences that make these things happen in some places. Hallelujah. I give you an example. I went for a mission work somewhere. You know, when we go to the village, there is no single community, there is no single family you get to that does not have, that you will not have at least one person that has a child out of wedlock. All over the place. You don't ignore such things. From place to place, from family to family. Now, for us to, we should pray. We begin to pray. But then ultimately, after praying, you now begin to preach. I said that last week. Because actually, the ultimate way to dispel darkness in a place is with the gospel. Are you following me? The gospel is the only way to deal with darkness in the hearts of men. It's the only way. So even the prayer is to the end that you preach. Hallelujah. So when you now share the gospel can deal with the darkness in the hearts of men. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. Look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, watch verse 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So all he does is to shut them out from the gospel. Because once that light shines on them, we already, imagine in your class, you want to bring God's system to your class. I'm talking about students now. And you begin to pray for everybody. And in the process of time, you now preach the gospel. And let's say 70% of your classmates get saved. You've already started dealing with the system at work in that place. I didn't get the point. Because first of all, light has shined in the hearts of men. Satan has lost every legal ground over those 70% or 70%. Come on, are you following me at all? So you find out you cast light in their hearts by the gospel. Of course, the next thing we talked about last week is now you now begin to disciple them. Because actually, a lot of people, pay attention, a lot of people, there's no more darkness in their hearts. They are now born again. But they're still living as according to darkness. So begin to teach, begin to train. And once you bring the word of God in a place, you are praying the word, you are teaching the word, and discipling men with the word, it will not be long. God's system will become prevalent in that place. Do it for 3 months, do it for 4 months, do it for 5 months. The next time, you will now notice that which was common in this place is no more there. Maybe there's an office where the normal thing is they manipulate figures, they do whatever, they dupe people, and then you come into the office and you notice that there's an evil system here. This is not how it's supposed to be. One of the ways it will not happen is by moral instruction. Change from your evil ways. People should stop this. This thing is not good. They even think you are not feeling fine. So the first thing to do is you begin to pray. As you are praying for them, you are taking them one by one and preaching the gospel to them. Now imagine an office of 30 people, and then in the process of time you get about 15 saved. And you didn't just think that getting them saved, you guys began to share the word of God, and then their hearts begin to align. They begin to grow. The next time there is an offer to take bribe, you have at least 15 people who would say no. I didn't get the point. You've started exerting the interest of the kingdom of God upon that place. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what we are going to do. Hallelujah. So I'll continue from there today to impose this kingdom, this God's kingdom. Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the first, as I've already said, is to get men saved. To get men saved. Once men are saved and are discipled, you notice that God's order begins to come into a place. Okay? And another thing that you're supposed to do in a place, I'm already talking about it, is that you will attempt to see, and that's what I'm going to focus on today, you attempt to see a standard of righteousness established wherever you are. Don't play with this. Whenever, for instance, it will not be nice that a believer is walking in a place or is in a classroom, and things are just normal. People are just acting as though there is no believer there. I was giving an example. If one witch enters your class, it will not be long. She wants to bewitch everybody in that classroom. Did you observe that? Have you observed that? They want to bewitch everybody. So, you know, if it is in school hostel, you now hear people waking up with marks in their body. You now see people. She's trying to cast her influence over. That's the thing the believer is supposed to do. So you cast your influence. So one is by getting men saved. And then, of course, trying to change the order of things in the place. So the first way we can do this, okay, is I've talked about preaching the gospel, as in praying. I've talked about preaching the gospel. I've talked about discipling men. But I'll talk about a few more things. One of them is you must become an example. One of the ways to change the order of things in a place, if you want to see God's kingdom established, you must be an example of that which you want. That's what we talk about conduct. You cannot be walking in a place. Pay attention. Remember, you're from a superior system. Do you remember that? You cannot be walking in a place and you pattern your life after every other person in that place. Your conduct and our conduct. Now, you are not going to see God's kingdom established there. Not really because your conduct is needed. Your conduct is not needed for people to be saved. But your, I hope you know that. Nobody can be saved by watching your life. I hope you know. People say there are many types of evangelism. One is lifestyle. There's nothing like that. Nobody can be changed by observing your life. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel is not acted, it's preached. You don't act gospel. Say, I'm behaving gospel. You don't behave gospel. You preach it. However, your conduct can be a platform to even give you the audience to talk to people. Do you understand the point? Let me show you 1 Peter 3 verse 14. So if you're in a place and you want to see this God's kingdom established, God's, not just kingdom, God's system of doing things, God's, one of them, as you're preaching and praying and doing whatever, you will become an example. He said, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Next verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So if they ask you about the gospel, he said, be bold. That's what I was talking about last week. Be bold to talk about the gospel in such places. Answer them. He said, but answer them with meekness and fear. Now see the next verse. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. All he's saying is, as you are teaching, put up a good character that even when people want to accuse you, they will not see anything to hold on to. The only thing they can hold on to is that this one is a believer. Put up like NLT of verse 15 or so. That's the only thing they can hold on to. He says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. That's why I said, in such places, you don't keep short. You cannot be in your class and you are just quiet. Say, I don't preach. not, I'm not here to do church. I'm here to do school. No. You're actually here to do church. Say, I'm here to do church. That's the truth. Say, I came to this office to work. My own is just to get the pay and go. That's not the truth. You came here not for the money. God packaged you into that workplace because there is somebody at this one mindset. I thought if you were at LMP, remember I said this. This one mindset you must carry to everywhere you go to. I believe that my life is divinely planned by God. I believe that nothing happens in my life by accident. I believe that if I get a job, God brought me here for a purpose, and that purpose is His gospel. Amen. So I believe that if I got a job in this office, there is someone God wants me to get saved in that office. And that is the primary reason I'm there. Are you getting the point? There's a reason you are in UNEC or IMT or Parkland. There's a reason you are not in Futo. You say, it's jam. No. From natural standpoint, if you are careless, you can say, it's jam. If not for jam, will I be here? But actually, I believe that my life is planned by God. You know, I showed an example when somebody that came for LMP. The Joseph, you know, the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. When he finally met them, and that was very instructive for me, first the Lord taught me that. When he finally met them, he told them, the Lord did send me here. So even though in reality they sold him, his own understanding of the matter is that God sent him here for that purpose. Who's getting the point? Do you know what I said now? So God put you in your school for this purpose. He put you in the office for this purpose. So you must be ready to explain it. Now, but then, in doing that, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. So we are talking about godly examples. Are you following me? Because from a superior system, you must live a life that is full of godly examples so that people can look at you and maybe not get saved by looking at you, but then it now becomes a better platform to share the word of God with them. I don't get the point. That's why you don't get into a place and the order of the day is indecent dressing and you fall in line because you want to know way. The order of the day is exam malpractice. Everybody is copying. Everybody is asking. Everybody is sneaking into the hall. And you fall in line. And once you begin to do that, you don't know what that does to you. It begins to steal your confidence to share gospel with people. I didn't get the point. When I was in school, that's one major thing I noticed. Once you are in the hall and you are doing gradually as you're doing that, give me, come, give tomorrow. If you preach to some people that are looking at you like, pastor, I didn't get a point. Pastor, the man that hitting you that way, because as far as that concerned, there is no difference. If you don't cooperate with them, guess what? They're going to hate you. I hope you know. Jesus said you should not expect them to like you. But in reality, they don't hate you. I have noticed what I'm telling you. They're acting like that one is doing holier than thou. But when you come out to talk, they will listen to you. I get the point. They're acting like that one wicked. But once you open your mouth to talk, they listen to you. Everybody is saying you are going to go and club. You say, I'm not going to go. They're going for this girl. You are doing too much. It's like they hate you. Tomorrow, when opinions are about to count, if you start talking, they will listen. If you blend with them, they will like you. This one are it's not all those Christians that used to do holier than thou. But when it's time to talk, your words don't count. Do you understand? Even if there's a problem, you say, I can pray and the power of God will walk through me and heal you. The person will say, amen. No. He doesn't believe you. Actually, that is part of God. You know, God doesn't need all those things to use you. I hope you know. We are living among men. So, we're talking about godly examples. You cannot, You cannot, if you want to bring God's system in a place, you must, I didn't even say something about the examiner practice. Examiner practice is a very terrible thing. People don't know how terrible it is. One of the things I have against examiner practice very strongly from my school days till now is the fact that it's a public sin. Do you understand the point? It's not sin you commit inside your room. You know, when you commit sin inside your room, it's only you and God that know you committed it. You can just tell him, ah, Baba, you know your boy. God forgets. He always does. Man does not forget. It's in their mind. I hope you know. They don't forget. Another thing I have against examiner practice is that half of the time, examiner practice is a manifestation of low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. It's sometimes people ask around in the hall because it's not as though they don't know. If you know it, it's a different case. It's not as though they don't know what to write. But they're not even confident in what they know. Even after they write it, they have to confirm. Let me ask you, some of you that have done exam practice before. Haven't you observed that sometimes, you know, have you ever written something, cancelled it, coming from somebody else, write something else, come out from the hall, and notice that it's that first thing you wrote. You see, I'm telling your story by word of knowledge. Now, if you are like that, you see, God has forgiven you. But if you continue doing that, you are killing your own confidence to even stand and talk to people. Hallelujah. There are many things I can say here, but I'll just leave it. That's why even when we talk about relationships, you say, I'm dating Mr. A, I'm dating Mr. B. There is a way believers date. There is a one believers date too, because you are in the world. You can, you see, two believers cannot claim to be dating. And every day, this one is hugging that one in public. This one is entering the other person's room to sleep over. Now, see the problem. You might tell me, sir, I swear, nothing is happening. The truth is, I believe you. Do you understand? I sincerely do. Possibly because I believe you, you cannot lie to me. I'm your pastor. You don't want to, what happened to another affair that happened to you. So I believe you in a way. But the people living in that compound, they don't need to ask you. Or they need to say, sister. They don't need to ask you anything. They normally ask some people that go and pass the night in a guy's place 2 days, 3 days. How do you come out in the morning? How do you sneak out? Now, the issue is not whether they happened. Because I know you're telling me, sir, I can swear, not tell. I believe you. I sincerely do. But you know, the world, they don't even ask for your opinion. They decide what they want to decide for themselves. They're pastor. I like this, your sister. You will not be the one explaining. No, she came for assignment. Who asked you? And that is a part where I get to, and I teach on conduct. You know, the Bible teaches that when you are among the Gentiles, when among the unsaved, you must take your conduct to a higher level. Now, I'm not permitting anything, but you see, even among, if we are among believers, mature believers, if you misbehave, we will finish you. It will end there. I hope you know. Because our minds are trained, we will still keep seeing you like who you are. But the world are not like that. You might think that flowing with you until the day. And that's why some of you cannot preach the gospel in your class and your environment. Because the day will fix light up around your streets. You will not attend. You will not attend because they know you. So you find out, once you don't have that, somebody says, I have a superior system. Jesus said, you are from beneath, I am from above. There is a difference between we and the world. And it's actually, it's not our conduct that makes the difference. But our conduct shows the difference. I tell my leaders all the time, you must be able to display superior character. Two people, argue, two people quarreling in a street or whatever, you are expected to display superior character by going to say sorry, by forgiving first. Because actually we come from a super system, and it's not just verbal, it's not just what you say, I'm not from here. Superior system, it should be able to be seen. See, let me, don't ever be ashamed of being different. See, it's okay for the whole world to be running left and running right. It's fine, nothing is wrong with it. Don't ever forget it. You see, I told you guys, people that wait for the approval of men will never lead a generation. If you always need men, everybody to be happy with what you are doing, you can't stand that in what God is doing. Don't ever forget it. Everybody that will stand that in what God is doing, there must be a time in your life when the whole world is shouting yes and you're shouting no. You know what I'm saying? Don't ever forget this. It's okay to stand out. It's okay to be different in your dressing. It's okay to be different in the way you talk. It's okay to be nicknamed pastor. Where is it with all pride? You say, pastor. You say, my dear, how are you? Why are you feeling somehow that I'm calling you pastor? Say, I'm not a pastor. They call you bro. You say, no, broken. See, let me tell you, be okay with being born again and showing it. And that is how you begin, by being godly examples, you are beginning to cast your influence already. Let me tell you what I've noticed. Half of the time when you begin to live like this, people will say terrible things about you. But half of the time, deep down in their hearts, they admire you. I used to write my exam when I was in school in front. I mean frontal front. Front. Now, and the reason is because I don't have strength to be saying, I will not tell you. Don't disturb me. When they don't use number or whatever, I pick my seat in front. At first, I felt nobody cared. Every friend I made when I was in school that became close to me in class, because I didn't have friends in my class. I don't used to work with them. I didn't even know my classmate's name. I don't have anybody's number. Brokesi was in my class. They will tell you, I have nobody's number. I don't talk to anybody. I just come to class and I go. Every friend I meet came from that thing. I'll be sitting in front during the exam. Almost every friend I made during the exam. But so come and meet me. I've been observing you. Sincerely, I want to be able to write these things on my own. And you already do it. Every friend I meet, that's why I made them. Because at first, it looks like you're overdoing. I didn't get it. It's okay to stand out. It's fine. Nothing is wrong with it. It's okay to be in your office and everybody's moving left. You alone, you are moving right. There is nothing wrong with it. Don't try to blend in. By being a godly example, you already begin to cast your influence. It's okay for everybody to say, we are going to the beach today to go and hang out. And you come out, and everybody's wearing pants or something. They're almost naked. And you come out, but if you used to wear your own panty like something. You say you want to wear a suit? No, that's not what I said. I'm just... Do you understand the point? It's okay, because you are not about to sell your to anybody. What are you showing the world? I know you have it. We all know you have it. Keep it safe for he that is to come. But that's the truth. Now, glory to God. So, we're talking about examples. So, your conduct, let me say what I said again. It doesn't validate the gospel. Your conduct does not. It doesn't even get anybody saved. But it provides a good opportunity to share the gospel. It makes people take you serious. That's why, you know, I've taught my people over time that a minister, when I talk to ministers, I tell them, a minister has two lives. People meet me and they say, is it good to drink? Is it good to take alcohol? you now have a teaching on that. If you want to get what I think on that, what's the topic again? Get that, the believer and what he eats, something like that. I addressed smoking, drinking, and all that. Now, actually, eating will not destroy you, it won't take you to hell. Do you understand? But you cannot always be found at bars and joints drinking away your life. Now, it doesn't matter whether you think it's right or wrong. If you finish drinking there today, I hope if tomorrow evangelism is in that same spot, I hope you will preach. Do you understand the point? Now that begins to determine how you lead. There are many things I cannot say here. If you are my son or whatever close to me, I will tell you those ones personally. But that begins to determine how you live your life and where you live your life. So conduct doesn't validate the gospel, but it provides an opportunity to share it. So we must be examples. Because we are from a superior system, we must display superior character. You see, be that kind of lady that when everybody is stepping on your toes, you are calm. You have been in that situation where everybody is expecting you to flare up and shout, and you are calm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I was in secondary school and I got born again, I've told you guys this story a couple of times. Because before I got born again, I was not really a sinner like that. I'm a church boy, you know, born in church. So even as an unbeliever, I was not like a bad boy, but I was just normal. If that cheat doing exam practice, I do. Normal boy, serious boy in class. At the time, I started becoming unserious. Just play video game. I was just a normal human being. In fact, in my SS1, they trusted me so much in class, so I thought I was a serious person. So they contributed money. I told you guys, sorry, Shay. They contributed, they said there would be monthly contribution. Weekly. Everybody, I think weekly or anytime if you can do daily, some 15 naira, no secondary school stuff. So they gave me to hold the money. The problem is as they're bringing the money, it doesn't get home with me. It has never got home with me. I don't have any record. Amen. So I was a good boy, but you know, just normal boy. It's not like I was planning to get the money. Different issues to come up. You would want to play game. You might want to, you know, different things. If I tell you how God delivered me from that thing, because when it was time for people to get the money, they said they must kill me. I was bold in the wisdom of God. it was very... So, this thing happened. Of course, the next time, I lost my dad. So, out of pity, then I said, oh, don't worry, forget that money. Let's waive it. But it was still in their mind. Money is something serious. You cannot use people's money to leave their mind. So when I started doing church, that I was now born again, the thing was still in their mind. This boy that ate our money. Glory to God. I think I ate that money. I saw all of them. Those like Jew people. You wouldn't do me anything those days. In the way you're a small boy, you feel you know streets very well. That was me. I felt all the small boys. Nothing will happen. So I got born again. I was trying to show, okay, I'm now serious. Now, what actually that's like getting the validation of the class was that story I told you guys. They were solving maths in the board. Remember? I said, solve number 10. Well, just all this class a student is teaching. The other person said, no, solve number 9. So I said, solve number 10. The guy said, I know number 10, solve number 9. I said, oh, if you know it, some people don't know. And this guy just came towards me, lifted up a... I know myself. So the thing came up from my leg to my head. I saw 201 things I could do to that boy, that place to end his destiny. I knew, not even strong. I know secondary school. I had the support of everybody. What did he do now? Don't leave him. Hi. And
remembered many things I've done to people in that class. I've used a compass into somebody's hand. I remembered, and I knew I could just do likewise. So, but I felt this calmness in my heart. So, I just sat down and smiled. I cleaned the blood. It was. So, I said, even if you won't react, go and report him. So, I just sat there. I just looked at him and I said, well, Ofo, that was his name. I said, thank God for Jesus. He said, forget that thing. Hi, Jesus. Say, wow. You got. He said, forget that thing. Even as I was going home, my friends were still telling me, it's not that boy in front. Let's hand up that boy. It's not taking anything. And I wanted to do it. Sincerely speaking, I wanted to do it. But then, I didn't react. That's the long and short of the story. The next day, the story, the guy came to apologize that he was sorry. But that wasn't just the case. More than 5 to 10 people in class met me and said, you shocked me yesterday. I didn't know you were going to take that. I didn't know you can be that calm. And it went around. Everybody said, this guy, something about this guy. This guy is different. Something about, and that was it. I don't get the point. Now, that was not the gospel. But it was a great opportunity to show that I have superior character. If I still remember that thing, used to pay me till now, but I won. So, number one, you must have that godly example thing. Again, I'm going to say, like I said during the LMT, I will still talk about that now. Trust the wisdom of God to make you excellent in your field. You know, people don't realize this thing I'm going to say now. That when you are in a place and you want to impose God's standard on the place, it's always good to be excellent at what you do. It is not the gospel, like I said, because that people take some of these messages I preach now to the extreme. So people say, some of you, God called you in politics. All you have to do is be a good person in politics. No. Politics is not the gospel. If you're in politics, you still have to preach the gospel to people. However, being excellent at what you do, maybe in your class, you're an excellent student, or in the office, you are good at your job, it gives a very good opportunity to share the gospel. I didn't get the point. It provides a very good platform. Very good platform. Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. Glory to God. He said, and in all matters of wisdom. Now, whenever I teach on Daniel, I remember I told you guys during LMP, the amazing thing about Daniel is that Daniel wasn't a pastor. Daniel was a politician. He was a governor. He wasn't the only governor. There were many other governors. He said, all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better. So you now begin to see the kind of influence Daniel had over Babylon, another country entirely. Don't forget, who are these guys? Who are they? Before they became governors, who are they? Slaves. They brought them as slaves from Jerusalem. Slaves. And they came and made their mark and rose from being slaves to being whatever. But that wasn't just the message. They influenced that place. To the point that if you read the whole book of Daniel, you'll find that the king will declare that everybody should bow to the God of Daniel. I don't get the point. One of the ways what I'm showing you, there is that excellence. They found them 10 times better. 10 times better. It is expected that, you know, that's why I tell you guys, some of you that are students, you know, I tell you, in your classroom, that's why I tell you to take your study seriously, because you should stand out, both in character and in excellence. I don't get the point. It provides a platform. That's just some of you in business. I don't expect you to be doing business and you are the least in your field. You shouldn't be the least in your field. You understand me? It provides, you know, that people are carnal. Very, very carnal. Very, very carnal. And because people are very, very carnal, they kind of believe, if that God you are serving is true, why has he not given you this and that? So, we don't think like them, but in our different fields, we must stand out and be excellent. Daniel chapter 5, I'll show you again. Chapter 5, verse 8. Hallelujah. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not. You know, this was when Daniel, when the king had a vision, had a dream, and they invited all the astrologers to interpret it. None of them could explain it. Daniel told the king, there is a God in heaven. So he came in, and by the power of God, all there were supposed to be wise men, astrologers, and all that, magicians, and Daniel was excellent. He stood out. Now, don't forget what I'm going to say now. Remember, the ultimate purpose of all of this is to preach the gospel. Because this is where people get it wrong. If you're just in your field, you say that girl, she's standing for Christ in her field. She's the best student in the class. Being the best student is not standing for Christ. You understand me? Standing for Christ is that you are now the best student and you are now preaching Christ as the best student. Do you understand the point? Being a very successful businessman is not standing for Christ. You are not. The ultimate aim is to preach the word last. You get the point? You get the point? But then, that's the ultimate aim. But then you must be excellent. Joseph will be released to Potiphar's house and he stood out that Potiphar left everything he's here. And that's why I normally push you guys. You know, you notice in church here, whatever you're supposed to do in church, I always push you to do it at your best. Because I expect you to carry that same kind of excellence into whatever you do. I don't get the point. When you now begin, you know, there's something the Lord said to us. Some of you can remember at Raise of Facts. He said he was going to raise godly examples. You remember that? Examples. Now, how he explained it to us in our generation, now talking about money. This our generation, we have a very bad example to copy from. Almost everybody you know that have money, you know or you believe they did fraud, right? You believe they sold their hand. So the example around us is, if you want to blow, you know what to do. But God will have us raise godly examples. People who will stand for the Lord, who will not compromise, but who still have the money, that they now become an example for the next generation. I didn't get the point. So we must have that culture of excellence. So you do your job well. As a student in class, you stand out. Both in character and in learning. That's why we ask you to read your books. You read and read and read again. You are in your workplace. You have a degree. What is stopping your master's? What is stopping more skills that you have to acquire? You have to stand out there. Be excellent at it. I don't get the point. Now it becomes a very big platform for you. Now let me even tell you one more thing why being excellent will help. Because I'll talk about this when I'll be rounding up. We're talking about righteous standards now. When you are excellent and you're in the place of authority, it gives you the opportunity to exert your own standards on that place. To declare, dictate how things will be done. I don't get the point. When you rise in your company and you become somebody that is very good at his job. You know, sometimes when you're so good at your job, so good, your certificate is, your CV is wow. Your work ethics, wow. Even when you now begin to insist, I'm not going to stand and do whatever with your people, the company will not want to sack you. Because you are bringing value to the table. Do you understand the point? But if you are just somebody they can dispose like that, they say, you don't want that. Many people that want this job. So either about what you are saying or you go. Are you getting me, friends? So some of you that are doing whatever, I don't expect you. There are many scriptures I can use to teach this. I can use many scriptures. The New Testament, the Bible talks about hard work, the Bible talks about diligence. I don't expect you that it is your own work that will be collapsing. It is your own work that will not be doing well. It is for your department that's always being queried. It shouldn't be so. We have a superior system. That system has excellence in it. And excellence means to exceed expectations. Are you getting me, friends? You must have that excellence thing in you. that when I get into a place, I must stand out and do it as I must. The Bible, New Testament, teaches over and over again diligence. It teaches hard work. Diligence. He said, whenever you are walking, he said, do it as unto the Lord. In other words, the same way you would take your work in church seriously and do it well, when you get into the secular place, face your work like that and do it as you must. Are you getting me, friends? There must be that excellence. So that it's not every time in class you say, I'm not going to copy from anybody. But then your result is nothing to write home about. Do you understand me? Amen. Yeah. Nothing to write home about. You must stand out. So this puts you in a position of influence and makes your life very enviable. And then you can now, of course, this in itself too does not validate the gospel. I hope you remember that. Even this one. But then you can now leverage on that stuff to now begin to bring the word of God to people. Don't be a Christian. Amen. Don't be a Christian musician. That when you release your song, who is it that are playing it? We are beating you. Because it's looking somehow. If we don't play it now, you will now say, we don't need to support people in this church. So let's just play it. Strive for excellence. Don't be a Christian tailor that we are patronizing just because you are a church member. Do you understand the point? You now sow something for us and we collect it from one hand and take it to another tailor to mend it. But we will not tell you because you are a church member. Say amen. Don't be a Christian event planner. And when you are done with our event, I don't know whether it's me planning the event or it's you planning the event, because all of us are planning the event. I have an event planner, but I'm sweating. Don't be like that. Don't be a baker that is a believer. And the way you bake cake, we eat it as the body and blood of Jesus. We enjoy it like communion. Don't be like that. You must be excellent. And that's what I'm trying to say. You must be excellent. Apart from what I'm saying now, love excellence. Don't you love excellence? Love to be good. Don't always explain your work to us. Don't finish sewing and be telling us in style. It's just that trade finish on us. Don't explain to us. Give us the work lesson. You understand the point? And you must have that touch of excellence. That touch of excellence. Pursue it. You want to go career, whatever. You want to, you know, get into the profession, whatever. Don't stop. Get one certificate. Get another one. Get another one. Be good at it. If they're talking about best staff for the month, it should be you winning it. That's what I'm saying. It should be you. Now, I'm saying we are from a superior system, and we must demonstrate this superiority in all ramifications. Be excellent at it. Do you understand the point? Yeah, you're a barber. You want to barb hair. You know, you finish barbing us, and you're explaining to us is the reigning style. I didn't ask to barb. Don't barb me the reigning style. Barb me my style. Say, Zirene, or you want to make hair. When I don't make in the hair, you look at ourselves in the mirror and say, is this what I told you to make? He said, I just thought of something. See, be good. Some of our people, they were in my office, they were telling me that they make hair. That was just last week. I said, are you good? He said, Pastor, I said, are you good? I said, hey, plan, become good. Don't let us manage you. So that after you finish making the hair, the next day we'll go and loosen the hair and remake it, because we don't want to hurt your emotions. Hallelujah. Say, my hands are excellent hands. I do things right. Glory to God. You can't be doing graphic design and when you finish, me self don't want to post the you know, that's something they designed for you. You don't know that it's burial post. You're wondering whether you have died. Glory to God. you are close to me as a son, as a daughter, and you are doing anything, and you permit me to be telling you the truth. He said, Pastor, tell me the truth. Oh God, you will not like me. I will tell you the full truth and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you design it, just look at it and say, wow, wow. And you will not even have mind to post the review. We said, wow. We don't know the word we are saying is wow. Is this what you designed? Wow. Or photographers. You just snap us like this. We look at it. That's why you notice every department in the church we used to fight. Because you must get it right. While I expect you, excellence is achievable at any level. When you learn at first, I don't expect you to become as whatever. But what I would not expect is to see you at this level, commend you at this level, and come back next month and still find you at that same level. Then you are not pushing yourself. I don't get the point. Sometimes when I commend you at this level, I'm not saying you've gotten the best. I'm saying you learned this under 1 month, you are doing well. You can no longer remain there. Who is getting the point at all? So strive for excellence. I just thought I should take time to say that. Strive for excellence. If you're a teacher, it should be that if I take you on any course, you should be able to succeed. A pastor must be excellent. Excellence as a pastor is not found in how he dresses or how he talks. It's found in how he explains the Bible, how he handles the word of God. He must not do cut and join. That's excellence. That level of excellence will demand a lot of study, thorough study, thorough prayer life, and all that. That's how you must be excellent. Glory to God. Just as you say that, so trust the wisdom of God to stand you out. Look at Daniel 6 verse 13. Now we just look at that, and then I mention the last thing and we'll start rounding up. He says, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regarded not thee, O king. You know this place? When they now conspired against Daniel because he refused, because that's where I'm going to. He was, notice what happened here. Attention. Now, the guy was standing out in his character. The guy was standing out in his profession. He was perfect. He had this excellent spirit in him. So they wanted to get him down. They tried character. He was standing out. Because remember I told you the first day of this teaching, that system of the world, they are always fighting you. Jesus told them, don't expect that they will like you. They won't. So they will try to get you down. So they tried conduct. They didn't find anything against him. They checked how he was doing his work. They found nothing against him. So the only thing they will not have against him is his Christian faith. They now say, king, declare that everybody must bow down to this image. Well, at that point, we will not bow down. But the guy was very, very professional. He had already won the king's heart. So the king did not even want to punish him or throw him into the lions then, but because he has given the decree. At that point, where it is just your faith that they have against you, first, if you suffer, you are suffering well. It's a good reason to suffer. You know, that's what that place we read in 1 Peter was talking about. Make sure you are not suffering as an evil doer, as a thief. You are not suffering because your conduct. Make sure it's for your faith. When the Lord breaks something about your faith, it's okay to suffer that way. It's a good reason to suffer. If they now hate you and you cross-check, the only reason they hate you is because you're a believer. You are loving them. You are being all you should. You are doing your work well, but they still are against you. It's a good reason to be hated. Celebrate it. It's not me that said it. It's the Bible. Oh, let me show you again. 1 Peter. Go back there. Chapter 3, verse. Let's start from 13 this time. With New Living Translation. He said, okay, verse 12 or so. Let's see. But even if you suffer. Okay, let's go back, go back, go back, go back, go back. 12. Go back again. Okay, let's start from 13. Now watch. He says, 13. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Peter was asking. But you know you can be doing good and people want to harm you. So Peter now said, even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. So it's possible for to be punished for doing what is right. But make sure that's why they're punishing you. Make sure it's not because you're stealing or because you're a wicked person. And the good thing is that God will reward you. One of the rewards that God gives you in that kind of system is that he delivers you. Like what he did for Daniel then. Through the guy into the den of fire, or den of lions rather, God delivered him. That's one of the rewards you see. Sometimes another reward that comes from such system is God now stands you out and lifts you excellently in that place. You now begin to do so well. And you now become a point of attraction. Everybody's coming to you. How is he working for you? Hallelujah. Remember, all these things I'm sharing, it's a platform to impose our system on them. And that's by preaching the gospel. Do you understand the point? By preaching the gospel. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Then the last thing I'm going to say, before I talk about the last thing again, the last thing I'm going to say on imposing this system and all that is, when you are in any system, in that place, insist on right standards and be very bold with it. Insist on doing the right thing, the right way, and be bold about it. So this is what I stand for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to plead. Please allow this usher to sit down. Can they sit? Okay, please, people should sit down. God bless you. This is our ushering team. I love them. But I still know next week people still commit the same crime. So, now, you must have righteous standards and be bold with it. That's why I told you, it is okay to stand out. When I'm talking about righteous standards, you must have right way of doing things. Okay? Especially if you find yourself in a position of authority. I mean, before you came in there, they used to siphon funds. You should be able to come in and insist that in my own time it will not happen. And insist on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, a lot of stories I can show you. One of them is Joseph. When he got to the house of Potiphar, when it was now time to drag him to bed, he said, no, this one I will not do it. Do you know, if Joseph has started, you know, the worldly wisdom is, the man already likes you fully. The woman now wants to sleep with you. If you now start sleeping with the woman, do you know what it means? You've sealed your place in that house. You stayed there forever. The man likes you, the woman likes you. Money is coming from the man, money is coming from the woman. Even if that's what other workers there have been doing, it's okay to say, in my own time, I will not do it this way. That's why I kept telling some of our guys in this place, and even ladies these days. Because these days, to become an internet fraudster, don't need to be a guy. Even ladies can be. It's okay to stand in that place where that's what everybody's doing and insist that this is how I'm going to do my own. This is how I'm going to stand out. I'm not going to join you guys in what you do. I don't get the point. I get the point. You are in an office. They say you must sign these papers. That's why if you're in a position where you can talk, always speak up for the truth. Always. Because one of the reasons God will begin to lift you in some of these places and begin to place you so that you can be able to talk. We should not make you a politician. And then you are a chairman of the local government and you are still eating money. Nothing changed. The roads are still not built. Now, is that the gospel? That is not the gospel. I don't get the point. But we also have a duty to impose righteous standards wherever we find ourselves. The roads are still not built. We still award contract 4 billion naira to build from here to there, and yet it will not be built in your tenure. I don't get the point. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? Hallelujah. You should have righteous standards. You should have your own standards. Because remember, we are not the same with the world. We have a way of doing our own things. This is my own way. Even if in that your standard it looks like you're being foolish. You get to the market, you are selling, you have a shop. However, that person sells their own is to lie. He said, this Ungwafia, he just came in yesterday. Yesterday. So how much do you have? Say 4,000. He said, you know, what I like myself is I don't used to lie. That's why I like myself. I bought this thing 3,009. That's what I'm telling you. I don't even have gain from this thing I'm telling you. I just want to do for you. You are lying. You are a liar. It's not business strategy. It is lie. So stop. Yes, I'm telling you, just look at me now. Okay, you know what to do here. Take this, go around this market. If you get this thing cheaper, come back. You know we'll get it cheaper. And when I get to market and I start talking, I say, sis, don't do that thing for me. I will get it cheaper. Hallelujah. You know, but that's the order. That's how to sell. If an Igbo girl or Igbo guy, that's how we sell markets. Just lie. Lie. Say this thing. Sometimes the price of that thing is 2,000 naira. When you look at the person, he came in with suit. Say this one, don't know anything. You sell it 9,000. He says it's business sense. Now, what you don't know is this. For most times, the person will later find out that he was cheated. Not that he cheated, that he's heavy cheating. You know you cheated him heavily. It has become a dent on your character and your integrity. Tomorrow you start talking again, they will not take you serious. Even if it has no consequence, it's always good to be right. If I put my price of selling things, this is what I want to sell it. I can tell you, that is what me, I'm selling my own. I don't have to lie to you. I don't get the point. I don't have to tell you, this is 9,000. Actually, I bought it 8,003. Get them near 700. You know you're lying. I don't get the point. If for whatever reason you want to sell your own 9,000, maybe because they have to pay for the AC, it's blowing them, and they have to pay for, I don't get the point. Maybe you rented a very expensive shop. If you have your own reason for selling it, it's fine. No, it's a choice. But don't put lie on top of it. Say amen. There is a way. There's a righteous way of doing things. There is a way, and you must stand out. Whenever they're looking for who we compromise the standards, it mustn't be you. You understand the point? It mustn't be you. Have that standard of righteousness wherever you find yourself. Esther was a queen. She used that position as a queen to make sure the Jews were not destroyed. That's how to lead. You get the point? When it was time for her to speak up, but the guy told her, speak up. If you don't speak, help will come from somewhere else. So you speak up. He said, this is not right. This cannot be done. And I want to challenge some of you. You are in a place and this, speak up. He said, why would they listen to me? They will listen to you. Because, of course, your character is impeccable. You've tried to live. They will listen to you. Speak up. Even if they don't listen to you, let it be on record that you did not stand for that thing. Do you understand the point? Let it be on record that you stood against it. Let it be on record that you said, I am not part of this game. I'm not part of. You are in a place where they are plotting. Amen? You are a guy, your group of guys, that are plotting how they can take advantage of a certain sister or one girl like that. They are plotting it. And you're just quiet, laughing, pressing your phone. Leave that phone alone. Speak up. Then what kind of nonsense is this? I'm not in this thing. They will tell you to join. But you know, in speaking, you know, sometimes when you speak up, you think you're speaking, they don't do anything. They will go back and start thinking about it. I don't get the point. They will go back and start thinking about it. So you have righteous standards. I have my way of doing my things. I have my way. And it should be something that will guide. It should reflect, especially if you run a business here. Your standards as a believer should reflect in the way, in the ethics of that business. I don't get the point. Now, you begin to impose God's way of doing things all over that place. All over that place. You know, some people think that when they make you the principal of a secondary school, that how to bring God's standard is to make sure that they preach in the morning, preach in the night, pray afternoon, night, morning, afternoon. I won't even put my child in that kind of school. Where they pray morning, afternoon, night. They came to school. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said? Yes. Should that be prayer? Yes. Would they hear God's word? Yes. But like pray during lecture period that they're praying. That's not actually what it is. There is a way when you're like that position of authority. you can begin to bring God's system. Of course, there should be teaching. There should be preaching of the word of God. There should be prayers. You are praying for the students and all that. You begin to insist on righteous standards. Gradually, you begin to impose this kingdom upon them and spread your influence. If you're in secondary school, if I let me say this to you. If you're teaching in secondary school, it is very easy to influence the hearts of those children. Young children, young students, they think they believe in something, they don't believe in anything. They believe in nothing. They just have to hear the truth. You preach the truth and you live the truth among them. You know, there's always this teacher in secondary school that everybody likes. Do you have observed? Everything. Sometimes when he says something, they don't even believe what he's saying. But, he's the one saying it. Be that kind of person. Stand out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, in you see the right standards. Now, finally, I'm going to say, remember, and that's how the Lord said I should close this, that the purpose of everything I've been saying since morning is so that you can preach the word. Because everything we've said cannot save anybody. Righteous standards does not get anybody born again. Good living does not get any human being born again. It doesn't. They are living right. You have conduct. You have to. You obey all the laws. You can't get anybody born again. But you can now leverage on that opportunity and on that platform to now share God's word with people. People can now trust you. They can now look at this and say, I trust you. And you can now preach God's word to them. Can't you see you have friends in your neighborhood that you've never bothered inviting to church? Because you don't even want them to know you're a church person like that. I didn't get the point. You must stand out. But the aim is so that at the end of the day, we can preach God's word to those people. The aim is that at the end of the day, we will exalt the mountain of the Lord's house above every other mountain. That's the aim. Hallelujah. The aim is that at the end of 1 year in that office, you work in that company, that when you came here, there were 40, the staff, there were 40, about only 4 were born again. When you are living, you can look back and say, about 17 are now saved. They've been discipled. They saw my lifestyle. They saw how I lived my life. And I leveraged that opportunity and that privilege to preach the gospel to them. And they got saved. I started bringing them to church. Do you know it? You know, if you work in a place for 1 year, and after working in that place for 1 year, you didn't have at least one or two persons from that particular environment that came to your church. What it means is that you are silent in that place. Say amen. Amen. If nobody from your class, as a student, have followed you to church, it's either in that class you are not standing out as a believer. So if you invite them to church, they say, are you two? They go to church. Do you understand the point? Or you are living well, but you are not speaking up. The aim is we impose our kingdom. We want to see all men saved. We want to see all men discipled. We want to see light cover our environment. We want to see our system imposed on the system of the world. Glory to God. So you don't stay in a place like that and you keep calm, or you are quiet, or you are living like them, or you are just quiet, or things are happening the same way. If you spend 6 months, there should be a difference. If you spend 1 year, there should be a difference. Say amen. If you spend 4 years, I told you guys, when you gain admission into a school, and they give you roommates every year. They give you like 4 roommates or 5 roommates. I see it as an opportunity to have 4 different people to preach to every year. I don't get the point. Position yourself well in that place. When they start jumping up, don't jump up with them. When they start doing whatever, don't do whatever with them. Yet, be filled with love. Don't be antagonistic. Don't be hateful. Love them, but stand out. When they begin to do their own whatever, you say, I don't involve in those things. Then seize the opportunity and begin to preach the love of God to them. It will not be long. That room will now look like a very spiritual room. Where everybody is talking church. Where everybody is thinking alike. Hallelujah. So the government of God has prevailed over that room, finally. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we are going to do. You're in the workplace, the same thing. The same thing. You're standing out, you're living right, you're praying for them, you're preaching to them, and then the light of the gospel shines gloriously in all our environments. Why are you blessed today? So we have an assignment to impose a superior system on a fallen world.
I'll show you one last scripture that was read the other day, and then we'll close. Romans 12, verse 21. Be not overcome with evil. He said, but overcome evil with good. So when we come into a place where there is evil, our aim is to use the light that we are and drive out that darkness in that environment. As we preach, as we pray, as we disciple, we are living right, we are being excellent, we are upholding our standards, and we are still teaching them. You cannot do this. It's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Light will shine all over the place. Light will shine all over the place. Glory to God. But you see, once you begin to compromise and begin to do like them, begin to talk like them, begin to see things from their perspective, begin to approach issues like them, you are robbing yourself. You know, one thing I told you guys, sin steals your confidence. That's what sin does. It steals your confidence. You can no longer talk to people. You are no longer able to tell people that is wrong. You're no longer able to tell people the Bible said, scripture said, and all that. Now, I'll close this way. I didn't plan to, but Lord just laid that in my heart. Now, the reason we share this thing this evening is not for you to feel bad. If you found yourself falling in one area, maybe somebody is telling me as I'm talking now, Pastor, this thing you are teaching now is the reason I want to back out from my area because I've casted in that area. I want to go to somewhere else and start a new chapter. Now, you don't need to do that. I get to the point. Now, because that's why I shared my secondary school story with you. I didn't come into my secondary school and I became a preacher from beginning. I did some crazy stuff, like I told you. I ate a whole class money, everybody's money. But then, when you now make up your mind from today, you now begin to fix all those stuffs. If at all they are confident to confront you with those things, it's not that we saw doing this and say yes, it's true. Sure. That was then. Let me get a point. Be very bold. Begin gradually. Don't let because you've done this stop you. Say no wonder I can't preach in this place. So me like this, that they know. You can start from today to bring out those righteous standards. I get the point. You're from a superior system. You can start from today to begin to show it. Don't wait until you pack out. Say me, I'll do ministry, but hey, the kind of bad things I've done in this environment, they know me. I spoke to one girl about preaching. She said, no, sir, I can't preach here. If I tell you the number of, because of course she was a very rough girl, you know. If I tell you the number of guys that come here to pick me every day, I can't even start now. What will I tell them? She told me, sir, let me tell you something. Look around this, if you come to my lodge, at least four or five of them have served with them. So what am I preaching to them? I say it's even a good time to start. Amen? He said, how? He said, so when they now come again, you now refuse. They now know that there's a difference now. Are you following me, friends? Do not say, because I've done too much. I don't have right standards. My conduct is poor, so I can't even preach. No. The time to start is now. In fact, let me drop this. Preaching is even one of the ways to have that right standards. Once you begin to preach in your environment, you begin to watch your life. Have you observed it? Amen. If you've been misbehaving in your environment, go and preach. Preach to five people, you will start living well. It's authority, it will reset you. You don't need to work. Hallelujah. You start living well. I didn't say advise people. I say preach. Carry Bible. Jesus, the Bible said, you know, for God so loved the world, after preaching, pray, lead them to Christ. When you come into that place, that's where you now be living. Has it happened to you? So if you find yourself not even living right, go and preach the gospel to someone in that place. Preach to one, preach to two, preach to three, preach to four, preach to the class, preach to the office. Propose office prayer. Preach to them. When you finish, if they say they want to take bribe, you cannot open your mouth and say you will take it. Hallelujah. So I have a superior system. And I live like that. So I have a superior system. And I live like that. I will impose the
kingdom of God. I will impose the system of God in my own environment. Glory to God. So let's stand to our feet all over this place. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Now, for many of us, this has come to us in different ways. Lots of corrections, lots of things to address again. If you've fallen by any standard in any way we've addressed this evening, there is nothing wrong with you yet. You can start today. You can begin to fix those things from now. From now. The good thing is, the same people that Saul killed and fought, when the same environment he came back to when he got saved. At first, they were not interacting with him. At first, they saw him like this one, a murderer. But when he continued, they now say, okay, fine. He has changed. So, maybe you've fallen, if you find yourself conforming to the standard of this world, the world has kept dragging you down to their level, dragging you down to their mess. There is no problem. We can start from today. Hallelujah. And begin to live your superior self. And begin to display superior character. And then begin to preach gospel to the environment and see that by the time you are done, 1 year in that lodge, 1 year in that compound, 1 year in that street, everybody there has heard God's word from you. Everybody there has started seeing the light. I say this finally, don't keep short. Amen? What did I say? What did I say? Don't keep short. Many of us enjoy evangelism. When we say, carry your Bible, let's go and preach. He said, what are we going to? We are going to watch. Everybody carry the Bible and go in there. Because nobody knows you. What I'm teaching this evening is your environment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your own environment. Your classroom. Your workplace. Your office. That is what I'm talking about. Don't keep short there. Be very loud and bold about your conduct, about your character, about what you stand for, and with the gospel. Very bold with it and loud. The things that will happen before you are done living in that place, before you don't stay in there, will shock you. Are you getting me, friends? It will shock you. So, I don't know how much impact you are making. You are just preaching. You are just preaching. You are just living right. You are just preaching. You don't know how many people that you are changing their lives by these things you are doing. So, it's time to go back to our places, our classrooms, our offices, our families, and impose God's system on them by our lifestyle, by prayer, and ultimately by the word of God in our mouth to teach and to train and to disciple nations. Hallelujah. This is our assignment. Lift your voice. Let me hear you pray in the Holy Ghost.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.